Hey everybody, we are back again with you this week. It's Lisa here.
Hey guys, it's Justine.
So we are really excited to be back again with everyone. It's been a really awesome week.
This has been a really fun week. We have been so lucky. You know, we had Dana on this week.
She was great.
Talking about the Super Bowl, all the New York City events, the Jersey events.
Which,
can't forget New Jersey.
Can't forget New Jersey. Thank you for recognizing. I've seen more and more outrage from
others. I have too, actually.
I started some sort of trend. I should start hashtagging it. But, you know, that New Jersey is the host of the Super Bowl.
It
so
is.
People have been coming through to that. And I did notice the insignia on my Super Bowl jersey, zip up, says New York and New Jersey. So,
yes.
They've put me at bay with my complaints about that. But it's been a great week. Super Bowl Boulevard is open.
Oh my God, it's crazy in the city.
People are posting pictures from the toboggan that they have in Times
Square. I kind of want to do that.
Mamu is going to be doing that tomorrow, so
she is?
I might go. And I will try and post some pictures from that. It's going to be absolute madness. Let's put it this way. I've had such mixed feelings about this whole Super Bowl hosting because I love football. I love Super Bowl. It's just a very scary thing for me to think about. All of these people, all of this traffic, the commuting nightmare that is Route 3 right now.
There's
for anybody who travels
happening
between New York and New Jersey knows that it is a mess. And most people can't wait till this is gone and over.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really exciting. I mean, this is possibly once in a lifetime because I don't think they're ever going to do this again.
You know,
I think this
funny
is the last time.
It's funny you say that because I'm supposed to go to this event tonight based around the Super Bowl. And there's part of me, the loser side of me, that was thinking, one, it's freaking freezing.
Yeah.
I mean, really, most of this
biting
stuff they have there is outside. Not the best week for that weather-wise. And, you know, I'm a little like, do I want to go? But then you have to think, who knows when this will ever happen ever again?
Right.
I mean, this could really be a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. So if you live in the area, go.
See something.
Just one thing, even. You got to go. Take a few pictures. I've been seeing them all over Instagram. It looks fun.
It does look fun. And they have the signposts up where there's, you know, the one way to
toboggan,
the other way to autograph signings. So it's just a really cool environment that's been around
this
week.
It's a nice energy this week.
Yeah. So I'm going to try and stop by and see that and post some pictures to at least say I went. I don't want 10 years down the line, you know, have my kids say, oh, you were by the Super Bowl. You were right around the corner. And me say, yeah, I avoided it. I don't want to be that person.
I don't want to do that either. I can be a loser, but I don't want to be one about this. And to have Dana have come on and talk to us about it, have that insider knowledge, I feel really lucky that we had her.
I mean, some of the events she was talking about, I didn't even know existed. So
amazing.
Now we'll be on the lookout for years to come. Taste of the NFL was something that she brought up.
Oh,
which,
I wish we were going
to it's a lot of money, but it's for charity. Being able to eat and incorporate food, which Dana basically does on a daily basis,
mm-hmm.
which is really awesome. And just that access to insider information, exactly. You said it was really, really great.
So that's been wonderful, of course. But, you know, more than just Super Bowl, we have a lot of great stuff going on this week. Lisa had the opportunity to be with the infamous now Jim Morelli. I know we've been talking about him like every single episode, but you finally got to see him today.
I did. Jim was doing some interviews, had some great information and products. All over the headlines, CNN has been reporting about widespread flu outbreaks in over 40 states in the United States.
Scary.
So it is scary. It is really so important for people to have the right information when it comes to cold and flu. You feel like you're hearing it over and over again, but are you hearing the right things? And is that information changing?
And are you following anything that you're hearing? I mean, yeah, we hear about it all the time and we produce segments on it, so we should be taking our own advice, but I don't.
Yeah. I mean, I could definitely be washing my hands more. And that's one of the most important takeaways that I got from working with Jim throughout the years and just the information that he shares. Washing your hands, you know, using hand sanitizer is so important.
It's the key.
And just getting rid of germs on surfaces, like little mindless things that you think are common sense, but obviously not because if people are spreading them from person to person, somebody's not doing it.
No, we're not doing it. My dad has told me since I was a little kid, wash your hands. And I only started really taking his advice seriously about a year or two ago. And knock on wood, I have not really been sick.
Yeah.
So it's big. And you know us by now, you guys, we are not the boring type. Let's just cover any old story.
Right.
This is a huge thing right now, this whole flu outbreak and how supposedly it's not ending anytime soon. So we wanted to be in the know. We want you guys to have the real information. So to have someone like Jim Morelli, who's a pharmacist, a health reporter, to give you the real info, we thought you can't pass up on that.
Absolutely. So we're going to play out my interview with Jim, and you guys can hear it for yourselves, just the great information he had. And you might, I really think everybody will learn something from this.
Yeah,
he
did. Take note.
So give it a listen. Hey everybody, it is Lisa here on set with one of my favorite people, health reporter and pharmacist Jim Morelli, as promised. Now, Jim, you're supposed to be on the show with us last week, but thanks to some weather
and, you know, car issue, etc.
So we were delayed. So, Jim, I've been calling my white whale, you know, my Matt Damon interview that I've been trying to get. So finally, we have him here ready to talk to us about something super topical right now, the flu. So, Jim, want to tell us what's going on in the country right now with the flu and what we can be expecting the next couple months?
Yeah, well, we've got a really significant flu outbreak this year. We've got now 40 states that are under a widespread flu outbreak, and probably it's going to get worse before it gets better because we still have about 2.5 months of flu season to go, and it usually peaks in late February.
So we're not out of the woods yet. So you think, you know, once the holidays are over, it's supposed to stop snowing, and we're supposed to stop getting sick.
Right.
But really, we have until February to freeze and, you know, cough our brains out.
Yeah, definitely. And not only that, because it's been so cold this year, more people are inside, we're together, that's helping with the transmission of the flu. Plus, the colder the air is and drier, the better it is for cold and flu viruses to thrive. So, obviously, most of the country has been unnaturally cold. It's been terribly cold.
So, that brings me to a few questions that I really wanted to ask you. So, we always hear kind of these misconceptions about the cold and the flu. So, the first being, you know, that the cold gives you a cold or gives you the flu. So what is the real issue with that, what you just said, right, that they thrive better in cold, dry air?
Well, that's part of it. We always used to say cold weather does not give you a cold. However, there's now some rethinking about that because, again, as I said, the viruses thrive in cold, dry weather. And on top of it all, our mucous membranes, which are a line of defense, dry out. And when they dry out, you can get cracks that you can't see, but those are a break in the defense, and so viruses can get in that way. So to some extent, it is true. Cold, dry weather can, in fact, increase our chances of getting a cold or flu.
That makes a little bit more sense, because that also leads me to my next question. There are a lot of old wives' tales, you might want to call them. I have an Italian grandmother who, every time she sees me barefoot in the house, says, Lisa, she's actually from the South, but she's Italian, you better put some socks on or you're going to catch a cold. What is the deal with that? What about our bodies with being cold and getting the flu or a cold?
Well, as you know, Italian grandmothers are always right.
They're a wealth of wrong misinformation. The wet head thing, too. I mean, if you're in Italy and you go out with a wet head, I mean, you might as well just have like a skull and crossbones on your forehead.
Right.
They think that that's it for you.
Well, there is a loss of body heat, first of all, and it's kind of complicated, but if you do have a loss of body heat that's significant, which can happen if you're not wearing a hat in cold weather, I don't know about the feet so much.
Okay.
I don't think that's so much of an issue. But what happens is if your body temperature decreases, there's more of a likelihood you could get sick. So that's why when we have a fever, fevers are actually beneficial because they actually make the environment in our body inhospitable for viruses.
Oh.
So fevers serve a useful purpose. They're uncomfortable, but they serve a useful purpose.
Wow. Okay. That's very interesting. That's something that I never knew. So we talked about, you know, why the cold weather could cause you. We talked about the wet hair or not wearing socks in my grandmother's case. Now, what about the old adage, feed a fever, starve a cold? What is the reasoning behind that? And is that true or not?
Well, there really is no reasoning behind that whatsoever. I mean, the bottom line is when you're sick, whether it be a cold or whether it's the flu, you want to give your body adequate nutrition. You don't want to starve.
You don't want to starve anything.
Right.
I've never starved a day in my life. So.
And the problem with that adage, too, is that feed a fever. Well, when you've got a fever, the last thing you want to do is what? Eat.
Yeah.
Right? You just don't want to eat.
Well, not me. I don't care
how.
I'm telling you, Jim, I wish that there was something that made me stop eating. I would just, you know, I would go and just, like, you know, eat off a petri dish if I had to. I just had to stop eating. But yeah, I mean, some people, they just totally lose their appetite, but you should still be, what, getting liquids and things like that?
Exactly. And this is where the whole chicken soup debate comes in. Is chicken soup beneficial when you have a cold or the flu? And the answer is it is beneficial because it's easy to eat, it's nutrition, it's also hydration, and there may be some things in chicken soup which enhance our body's functioning, immune system, electrolytes may be in there. And they've actually studied it. They've actually looked at it and have come to the conclusion that it's not a bad choice when you're sick.
Wow. So my grandmother was right about something, because that was one thing that we always had in the house. We're soup lovers from the get-go. We eat it in the summer. I could eat it on the beach. Like, it's one of my favorite foods. Now, if I put an ungodly amount of salt in my chicken soup, is it still hydrating, or does it kind of not have as much benefit?
It does cut into the hydrating benefit. But, you know, one misconception about hydration is with coffee and tea. You did mention tea. Caffeinated drinks are still, on balance, a way to hydrate. Now, you're going to lose some fluid. You're not going to get the full amount that you drank because they cause you to urinate. And okay. That's what they do. However, on balance, you will get fluid from those drinks, coffee.
That's great, because I even know from doing some of like the dieting things where they would say, you know, coffee and tea don't count as your 8 glasses of water that you're supposed to drink. But they said if it was decaffeinated, then it would count. So is it just because caffeine, like you said, it's like a stimulant, right? So it makes you feel that way.
It's the caffeine, and what it does is it causes your heart to pump faster, which pumps more blood through your kidneys, which means that your kidneys create or pull out more waste. That's how it happens. And so, yes, you do lose some fluid, but, you know, on balance, you're still getting some fluid.
Wow.
I wouldn't recommend, like, using coffee as your main hydrator.
Right, right. Have some water or, like, a sports drink or something with you. Okay, great. Really interesting. So now, we've talked about this before. Just a little backstory. We all know Justine, who's not here right now, is my work wife. And she might be feeling a little bit cheated on because I'm with kind of my work husband here. I mean, Jim and I have been working together for about 6 years. Only have probably met in person about 3 times, which is kind of crazy. But Jim goes out on the road for us and a bunch of other networks and people to, you know, share information. He's a pharmacist, health reporter. And I've heard Jim talk a lot about expired medications, and something that you told me about them is always really interesting. What is the deal with checking out our medicine cabinets and kind of going through for expiration dates of medication?
Well, you should know that expired medications may not be expired. The bottom line is that companies that make drugs decide, I'm going to test this drug for X number of years to see if it's still potent. Now, that does not mean that after that date it's not potent. It's just that they won't guarantee it.
Right.
And so there may be a loss of potency. There may not be. There have been studies done where they've tested expired drugs, and the drugs were just as potent. Now, what I would recommend is this. If you're in an emergency situation and you've got something that, you know, expired a few months ago and you have nothing else in the house and you're not feeling well, more than likely, you're going to be okay taking that. There are a couple of exceptions to that. Tetracyclines are prescription drugs that, when they expire, become toxic.
Oh, wow. Would be an example of that? Like, what would you take a tetracycline for? Like, what kind of...
It's an antibiotic, okay. So commonly tetracyclines are used, teenagers, for example, who have acne, use tetracycline,
okay.
But it can also be used for bacterial infections, that kind of thing. Lyme disease uses a type of tetracycline to treat. So those are the ones you have to really watch out for. But other medications, you know, I mean, if it's an emergency, I would do it,
yeah.
But then I would probably notice it's expired and make sure I went out and got a new one.
So, for example, if it's midnight, 1 a.m, and you're really feeling lousy and you're going to take one of your over-the-counter types, if it's a couple months, you know, not super expired, you're saying it can't guarantee that it'll be really potent, but in a pinch, it, you know, wouldn't necessarily be a toxic thing to take.
Right. It would be a reasonable thing in the middle of the night if you've got nothing else and you've got a cough syrup that went out of date like 2 months ago. It would be reasonable for me. I personally would not hesitate to take that, but the next day I would go out and replace it. Now, if it doesn't look good or doesn't smell good, don't take it.
Right.
I don't even care if it's in date. If it doesn't look good or smell good, don't take it. Sometimes things will break down early and depends on where you store them. So I don't want to come off advocating taking expired medications.
Of course.
But I think sometimes you have to be reasonable and say, if it's an emergency and I've got no other choice and it's only a little bit expired, well, you know, I would do it.
Yeah. And even more importantly, what you said about it, even if something is not technically expired, use your best judgment, use your look and your sense of smell to say, this doesn't look too good. And
correct.
Not take that. I think that's probably the most important thing. Don't just blindly trust what a manufacturer is telling you, to just kind of use your best judgment. Doesn't
right.
look good if it's separating or smells funny. I think that that's a great note.
And that goes to the point of where do you store your medications too, because most of us will store them in the bathroom, which is the lousiest place of all, because the humidity levels go up and down, the temperature goes up and down in there, and that contributes to drugs breaking down early.
Yeah.
Better to put them in the kitchen cabinet somewhere, obviously, if you have small children, you want to make sure that's either locked or high enough where they can't get to it.
That's really interesting because you said the medicine cabinet is known to be in the bathroom and it's just there's steam and
terrible place. Temperature. Yep.
Wow, really interesting. All right, one last thing, Jim. You've been wonderful as usual. So if you had to pick just kind of a top list, if we were to go through our medicine cabinets for now in preparation of what's going on, what kinds of things should we have? Like a top three of things that really would be something to have on hand.
Are we talking about... We're not talking about, like, thermometers and things like that.
Yeah, right? Something like that. So okay. If we were to go and open our medicine cabinet, what are three things that we should kind of have beforehand to make sure that if we do start to feel lousy, that we can go to?
Well, the first question, if you have a child especially, the first question they're going to ask you when you call the doctor is, does he or she have a fever? Does your child have a fever? So obviously you've got to have a thermometer. And you want to get one that's easy to use. You can get the temporal scanner type, mm-hmm. or you can get the digital readout ones. Make sure you got a thermometer. You'd be surprised how many people don't have.
I don't have one. Okay. I can tell you very easily that I don't have one.
Okay. Then you second want something for fever, to reduce fever. And I really recommend, given it's cold and flu season, I like ibuprofen. I think ibuprofen is a great product for fever, because it also at the same time can relieve symptoms like sore throat, muscle aches if you're starting to get the flu and you have muscle aches. And most people can safely take ibuprofen. You got to be a little bit careful if you're older and you have kidney issues or liver issues, but it is in general a safe drug.
Great.
And then finally, I would also recommend making sure you have some kind of disinfectant. And this is not so much a medicine cabinet thing, but if someone is sick in the house, you want to make sure you've got something to disinfect everything they touch. Because, you know, you could get sick from that. That's how germs spread. So alcohol, for example, hydrogen peroxide, any of those things.
Interesting. And I have one more question because that just led me to something I always think about. How do you catch the flu or germs from the air? Or do you? Is it from someone who is infected touching something and you touching it? Or can you, like if I was sitting next to you right now like I am and you had the flu, could I catch it from the air?
Yes, you can. Yeah, you catch it by airborne droplets, teeny tiny little droplets that come out of people who are sick.
Okay.
And then you can also catch it by surfaces. So both ways. The virus can linger on surfaces. We say about 3 days it can stay alive on a surface.
Wow, that's terrifying.
And so this is why you know people are a little bit paranoid about using the hand sanitizers. And I think cold and flu season, you've got to be very conscious of the fact that anything and anyone you touch might be carrying a germ. It might have a germ on it. So you want to make sure you're at some point sanitizing your hands during the day. And it's an uncomfortable situation when you shake somebody's hand and you're thinking they might be infectious,
yeah.
Right? And so, you know, to be polite, you might not want to quickly put the hand sanitizer on. But if you don't, just make sure you don't touch your eyes, your nose, or your mouth, because that's the mucous membrane area, and that's how you can transmit it. And then wash your hands when it's convenient, and you can be discreet.
You can sneak away and say, oh, excuse me while I use the restroom, and then wash away the germs of this other person. Okay, so that's really, really great information and cleared up some things for me, especially about if I can just sit next to somebody. I never really understood how I could just get sick from being in the presence of someone. So I'm going to go and lock myself in my room until the end of February.
Well, this is why you have an immune system, though. You see, if we didn't have an immune system, we would have to do that, right? But we have immune systems. I know I've been exposed. I mean, I've been on trains and planes constantly for the past few months, and you've been exposed living in the city. So our immune systems
damn subway.
Our immune systems help take care of us in that way. And so that's why you want to make sure you get enough sleep, proper nutrition, and you want to exercise every day to boost your immune system enough so that it will keep protecting you.
I find it really interesting that a lot of people who get the flu kind of get it regularly, and knock on wood, I've never gotten it. So I kind of said that I don't know if I've ever had it, and everyone who has said, Lisa, you would know if you had the flu.
Yeah.
It knocks you out. I mean, it just completely just wipes you out. So is there any sort of research to why some people might get it more than others? Or is it just kind of maybe I have a better immune system than some people?
You may simply have a better immune system. Your exposures may have been less.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know that there's any research out there saying why some people, but I know what you mean. There are some people who seem to always get this, and they always get a bad cold. And they probably have some impairment either in their immune system or perhaps perhaps in their mucous membranes. Perhaps something is getting in there and they're just conducive to getting sick.
Or their exposure to people in situations like nurses and, you know, maybe have more access to people where I have a small office. And if somebody doesn't come in sick, I might have less of a chance to get
it from that.
Absolutely
correct. That's right. And I have never gotten the flu myself.
Shake my hand. So, let's go here.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Wash your hands.
Nobody can see, but I just turned my back and put hand sanitizer on. But yeah, so I just was wondering if, you know, there's something I can kind of pat myself on the back for and say, hey, thank you.
I think you can pat yourself on the back. I mean, I know you exercise.
Yes, I do.
And,
More so lately.
Yeah. So, I mean, and you eat well.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
More so lately also.
Yeah.
We've been talking about juicing on the podcast for a while. I've been juicing now from about January 2nd every day to now, trying to pack those, you know, nutrients in that I'm not getting from what I'm eating. So that's been making me feel a lot better. I've been going to sleep earlier, waking up earlier. So I do feel a significant difference. So I think there's definitely something to what you were talking about in our segments today about, you know, good whole food nutrition and things like that.
Absolutely.
So any other quick tips before I let you go and get back to Boston? And
Well, I would say to ride out the rest of the cold and flu season, just be very mindful of how it's transmitted, like we talked about, through the air and through surfaces and through handshakes, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, if people would just step up their hand washing a little bit and use the hand sanitizers, you have got a lot of it knocked right there. And I've never gotten the flu vaccination, I'll be honest, but they are effective. They're 60 to 80% effective, and so it might be a good idea to get one.
Great. Jim, thank you so much. You're the best. And we're going to get back to me and Justine and see how jealous she was that I interviewed my old pal Jim without her.
Wow. That was some really intense information. I'm a little upset and jealous that I missed it, but he was right. Exactly what we were saying, the washing the hands, mm-hmm. what you're keeping in the medicine cabinet. You know, it's so funny because Lisa and I, like we said, have been producing these segments for so long, and we've always put into the scripts about that whole medicine cabinet thing and where it should be. Isn't that weird, though, that it is always in the bathroom, but it really shouldn't be?
Yeah. The worst place, like Jim said, to keep your medications is in your medicine cabinet in the bathroom. So
just the weirdest thing.
It's just one of those things that you've been doing forever, and I guess it's kind of a hard habit to break, but when you hear it said that way, it makes so much sense. Humidity, temperature change, not good for medicine. And, you know, it was interesting to hear what exactly it means for a expired medication. Now, don't go off drinking, you know, a 4-year-old NyQuil.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Jim made it clear he's not saying that. But the whole reasoning behind certain things always amazes me. I learned something else new this week about FDA approvals and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I always thought of the FDA as like this like group of almost like scientists who like go off to like different and almost like health inspectors.
These mystery men.
Yeah, that go in their like trench coats and their hats and they go to all of
trench
the
trench coats. Yep.
Yeah, that go to these, you know, organizations and these, you know, drug and food places and go and do all these testings. It's not. I don't know if you know this. I just learned this from a documentary.
God, you have been watching a lot of documentaries lately.
So what this one said in a nutshell, and I'm paraphrasing, so hopefully I'm not confusing anybody. The findings are done by these companies or by companies or, you know, organizations and brought to the FDA to evaluate the research.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not necessarily, not in all instances, conducting these things themselves, they're going by whatever private company or public, you know, whoever's doing the research presents the findings to the FDA and they either approve it or regulate it or not. So,
you know, listen, with expiration dates, they have to cover their butts and, you know, err on the side of caution.
Right.
I get it. And again, like we said before, we're not telling anybody to take expired meds, 5-year-old, whatever. But, you know, if you're in a pinch, you're in a pinch. Yet I know, and I'm sure that you agree, if I'm in a pinch anytime soon, I'm screwed because I have nothing in my medicine cabinet except some extra strength, like headache medication for potential hangovers. Like that's all that's in my medicine cabinet.
I'm out of those because of all the hangovers. So I need to replenish and medicine's expensive.
It
so
is.
I usually find myself only going to buy them when I need it, not proactively,
right.
But talking to Jim and just thinking about those days that you are home and you, you know, maybe come home from work and take a nap and you wake up at midnight. And we're lucky enough to live in New York City where there is somewhere that's going to be open if we need to run out.
But are you going to go?
But are you going to be well enough to do that and feel like doing that?
No.
Probably not. So I probably will, next time I'm passing by my Rite Aid or CVS, whatever, I probably will pop in and get something like a headache or, like he said, an ibuprofen, something to lower a fever, a pain reliever, which we always seem to have on hand.
Some type of cold and flu something. Yeah. Alka-Seltzer, we always talk about it.
We love it.
My mom has been pushing that dad. Forever.
Yep.
Now I have that because Dan got sick and I had to run out and get it, realizing I have nothing in this medicine cabinet. Nothing.
That's something that I would keep on hand too. And I think the reason we might like Alka-Seltzer cold is because you get to drink it while you're taking it.
Yeah.
So you're getting that kind of feeling of hydration and the pain reliever, I think, in it just feels like different. Like when you're drinking
I feel a like glass I'm of doing water. Something.
Yeah. A pill is kind of like you take it and you forget it. A lot of it might just be the mental placebo effect of feeling like you're doing something to do this.
Now, what about him saying that you should have a thermometer? That was almost laughable to me. I've never owned a thermometer. Ever.
No. I don't either. I remember what our old thermometer looked like from when I was a kid,
when
my mom would take my temperature. But weirdly enough, I never had a temperature. So that's probably because, like I said in the interview, I've never had the flu.
Me either.
And I think that's one of the biggest signs of the flu is that you have a fever. So every time I would feel like crap and my mom would say, let me take your temperature. Well, you don't have a fever. And I'd say, so what? What does that mean? So now I'm not really sick? It
would
piss me off.
That is so funny you say that. That's a mom famous line. Well, you don't have a fever.
Yeah.
Oh, so I have to go to school.
Right.
But I don't feel good.
Yeah. So what does that mean? All right,
so
fine.
Funny. And I always would convince myself when I was younger that I wasn't sick then because I didn't have a fever.
Yeah.
But you can be sick. Yeah. Did your mom used to have the thermometer that went in your tissue?
No. I wouldn't let her anywhere near me with that. You know, to be honest, I don't even think she would use it. I think she'd say, do it yourself. But no, we had the under-the-tongue one. Oh, my God. It was
the ear
beige.
One?
No, we had the under-the-tongue. I still remember what it felt like under my tongue. So I think I used to push it down, like, you know, into my
tongue
too far to try and make it hotter so that I would have a temperature.
That's so funny.
My mother was the stickler with not letting me stay home from school. I think because it was a pain in the neck for her because she had to work and have to figure out, all right, do I let 12-year-old Lisa stay home and watch Jerry Springer like I know she's going to do, even though I tell her not to.
Mm-hmm.
P.S. Do you remember staying home watching Jerry Springer? I remember I used to have to mute it so that when my mom called, she didn't know I was watching
it. I didn't watch Jerry Springer, but I definitely loaded up on television the entire day. I mean, that was the best part
of
staying
home
sick.
Yeah. That's still the whole reason. That's still the whole reason of staying home sick.
Yeah,
and I meant it when I said to Jim, I'm never not hungry. I've never had a cold or a flu where I said, I'm too sick to even eat.
Never.
In fact,
I wish.
I'm even more bored, and just the act of eating makes me feel like I'm doing something, so I would like to gain an easy 10 pounds with, you know, with the
I'd
cold.
Actually use it as an excuse to eat horrible things.
Yeah.
Oh, but I don't feel good, go get me a milkshake because my throat hurts.
Yeah, which is like the worst thing for you because milk would
get
phlegm.
And they would get it for me.
Yeah.
But it was great.
No, so no thermometer in the house ever. I loved Dimetapp, the grape medicine.
Ugh.
Oh my God, I loved it. It still tastes like a grape blow pop to me these days. And
I don't like anything grape flavored.
Yeah, I love it.
I actually hated most medicines because I didn't like the way they tasted. I taught myself at a very young age how to take a pill so that I wouldn't have to drink any of those liquids.
I think I was about 17 years old when I started taking the amoxicillin medicine by pill because I used to get strep throat like clockwork.
Me too.
Once a year. I haven't in years.
Me
but
either.
I used to get strep throat, I mean, a couple times a year, and I would get the quote-unquote bubblegum medicine. And I remember being like, I was a senior in high school. And that stuff is not convenient. It has to be refrigerated. You have to take it 3 times a day. So, I mean, if I'm in 7th period, I'm not going running to anyone's refrigerator to take this, you know? So my mother would be like, all right, Lisa, I mean, for God's sakes, you can drive a car.
You can take a pill.
So that was kind of a bad coming of age rite of passage.
Also, there was a lot of medicines growing up that were like horse pills. I mean,
still
this age is, you know, a little difficult.
Yeah, like my vitamin 2 in the morning, I don't like taking pills, but I will now for the convenience. Throw them in your purse and,
that's
you're
so funny
done.
That we both used to get strep all the time.
All the time.
They wanted to take my tonsils out, but we never did it.
And now I don't get it any. I mean, knock on wood again.
Me either.
I don't really get it anymore, but it was a good 2 or 3 times a year. I did hear, I wish Jim was here. I did hear once that people with dogs get strep throat a lot. I don't know. That's interesting. I need to look that up and see.
I did have a dog growing up.
Yeah, so did I. So I'm wondering if there's any validity to that. But I just remember hearing that and thinking, no, it's not Blackie's fault. It's someone else's.
We're going to have to look into that.
So
that was definitely a very cool, very interesting interview. I hope you guys, you know, take something from Jim's tips because he's definitely a pro.
Jim's an excellent authority. And he never ceases to amaze me that, you know, when somebody goes on the road enough for us or does satellite media tours for us enough, I think that I've heard everything. But there will be an anchor that will ask a question that I kind of hold my breath because I'm thinking,
oh my God, is
Jim going to know this?
Yeah.
Because I don't know this. Oh, he always knows. And if he doesn't know, he knows where to send you to find the information. But 9 times out of 10, he really does know. He's an amazing expert. And that's probably one of the things that I love most about what we do here is the access to the people and the products and just that information.
Real experts who know what they're talking about. I mean, that's hopefully going to be one of your favorite parts of listening to this podcast is getting access to these great people who have all this information. And Jim was definitely one of them. So thank you to Jim for coming on. Really.
He was really, really great. We'll probably have him back in the summer. He does other things for spring and summer.
Summer health, which people don't think of.
It's a whole different thing.
Whole other issue.
So he was great. In that same respect, speaking of experts, we are in the presence of greatness right now with Miss Justine Santinello. Next week, we will be coming to you guys, ba-dum-ba-dum, via video. We are going to be doing our first video podcast.
So exciting.
We're going to be at the studio. Justine and I both are going to be on a project for Valentine's Day.
Live on set. We have this great studio we work with here in Manhattan. And Lisa and I have the pleasure of working together in this great capacity. I will be on set as the talent. And Lisa will be there as our food stylist for the project, talking all things Valentine's Day, which is going to be our new hot topic coming up in the next few weeks. So, yeah, video podcast to give you some kind of behind-the-scenes looks at what we really do here and some of the most fun stuff that we do in our jobs.
Yes. So, Justine will be giving some product information and tips for all kinds of Valentine's Day festivities. And like she said, I will be giving recipes, taking some photos, and, you know, sharing some sites where you guys can get your own ideas and, you know, get going for Valentine's Day.
We're going to have some good stuff.
Yeah. Justine and I have a very different Valentine's Day situation because she being an engaged woman and me having my Valentine's Day still being my dad like I'm a child.
Aww.
But it's still nice, so we'll talk. We'll have everyone covered.
We'll have to have a whole other one just about Valentine's Day for all different types of people. And I mean, Valentine's Day. I love talking about Valentine's Day, and I've loved it even before I was engaged, before Dan and I were even dating. It's been one of my favorite holidays always.
Yeah. Well, I like any sort of occasion where you get chocolate and food and stuff. My holidays have always been great because my parents will spoil me and stuff like that. Like, people
me
be like,
too.
You get a gift for Easter? I'm like, yeah, and I get a gift for Halloween. Well, you don't? So I've always been, you know, I've never had a problem with Valentine's Day, even though I've maybe had a boyfriend for like 5 out of my 27 years.
They still send me a card. They still send me my Godiva truffles every year, like clockwork. And it warms my heart. I mean, you know me, I'm a sap. I'm a sucker. Yeah. I love a holiday about love and caring about people. You know, we don't get to tell people what we feel like most of the time. Yeah. So it's cute.
It is.
I like it.
So it'll be a really, really fun thing for us. Totally new for us to do a video podcast.
Yeah,
so
I'm excited.
Hopefully it works out. If not, you guys will still get to see it. We don't care. We'll show you.
Hopefully you guys don't have bad things to say for the people who don't know what we look like.
Oh, well, I'm sure they'll be pleasantly surprised. I'm going to pull out all the stops that day. I might have makeup artist on set.
Yeah.
Spend some budget on that. But anyway, that's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to be, you know, kind of keeping you guys in the loop about cold and flu. We'll follow up on that. We'll be posting stuff on Instagram, which again is +_media.
Yep.
And
don't forget to go to the Twitter.
Oh yeah. Our Twitter, WorkWivesNYC.
We've been getting great response on there. We really appreciate you guys tweeting us and asking us questions, liking the Instagram pictures. I mean, we love it. So keep it coming, guys.
Yeah. So next time we talk to you guys, we'll have a lot of more great information to share. So
can't wait for next time.
Thank you all.
See you guys then.